what are the next couple of steps we're going to look at?
So we have to find some kind of way to make this game fun, right? Okay. So far we've got a cool jumping man who makes these interesting noises when he jumps, but there's no scorekeeping. So how can I prove to my friends that I'm better at them than in everything I do other than implement some sort of scoring system? So in Construct 2, there's the concept of variables, which I'm sure, you know, it's a simple concept, right? Everyone gets what a variable is. But when you use it in Construct 2, these variables can be used to hold numerical data like numbers. They can be global or they can be instance variables. Global variables means it's recognized across the whole game. An instance variable pretty much means that that variable is only recognized on the object that it belongs to. So, again, we want our sound to be global. We want our score to be global. So I'm going to go ahead and add a global variable. I can do that in the event sheet really easily by right-clicking in the gray space, scrolling down to add global variable. You'll know that that's what it is because of this gray globe icon. And I'm just going to name this coins because we'll be collecting those.
Okay.
It's going to be a number, not a text. And it's not going to be a constant. Constant means that it won't ever change, and we always want our score to be going up, ideally.
And we can use variables to store any kind of information, whether it's a score or a current level or kind of anything we need to keep up with, as well as text. So it's not always a number. It could be text.
Doesn't always have to be a number, no. It can be text, and it can be anything that describes our game or anything that we actually use for our game's functionality.
Okay.
Great. So how are we going to go ahead and get more coins if there are no coins in our game?
Yeah, I guess we ought to add some coins.
We should add some coins. So let's go back to our layout. We're going to go ahead and add another object here. So we'll double click. We're going to go down Sprite. And I'm going to name this coin. I'll click Insert. And for starters, I'll just set one here. And I'll open this. Upper left corner, click that open folder icon. And I'm going to select Coin Gold. Cool. And I'll close it. And one coin is kind of boring, right?
Maybe we can add a couple. So I think we've talked about instances of an object before with these platforms. So maybe we can add multiple instances of this coin object.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me.
Okay.
And so if you remember what James did, in order to, you know, really quickly and easily make more coin objects, all I have to do is hold Control and just click my coin and drag away from it to clone it.
Okay, and I don't think I did it that way earlier, so this is a good shortcut to mention.
Oh, nice.
Is the holding down Control and then clicking on the object and then dragging, and you get another copy.
Perfect. Definitely.
Okay.
Yep. So I'll just drop one here because I'm overzealous. Just drop one here because I want my character to be rich.
Great. Could be coins all over the place.
Coins all over the place. Awesome. Now, are there any behaviors I need to give my coins? They're just going to be floating, so they don't need gravity, right? They're coins, so they're not really moving at all, so they don't need any animation. So I think they're just going to chill there.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Awesome. Cool. So I do want to say I want something to happen when I run into those coins. I don't want them to still be there after I touch them.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to say whenever my character touches a coin, I want the coin to disappear, and I want to add one to my score.
Okay. And what does... So you say touch. How do we do that touch in the event? What does that touch look like?
So it's going to be called an on-collision event, right? So whenever my player collides with the coin...
Okay, so yes, and this could be anything collides with something else. In this case, it's player and coin.
In this case, it's player and coin, but this concept can be used for anything.
Okay, perfect.
Cool. So I'm going to go ahead and add an event here that does that. I'm going to say, whenever my player, and I'll click next, and I'm going to use the on collision with another object event. So I'll just start typing that. It's kind of long-winded. On collision with another object. There we go. Click next. And they want to know, what object are you going to collide with? And I'm going to say, well, I want to collide with my coin. Click OK. And I'll click Done. So that's my condition. Whenever the player hits the coin, something's going to happen. I want a couple things to happen. First things first, I want my coin to disappear.
Makes sense.
So I'll click Action. I'll say Coin. Click Next. And I'll use the Destroy action here.
Okay. And now, it might seem like this would destroy all the coins, but it's actually just destroying that one coin that you collide with.
Yes, right? It's only going to happen to the one coin that's colliding with the character.
Okay.
Yes. So I'll use that. I'll click Done. And I also want to say, when I collide with a coin, I want to add one to my score. So I'll click add action under this action.
And this is the first time we've done multiple actions. So this you can have as many actions.
You can have as many actions for any one conditional.
Right.
So I'm also going to say system. And this is the first time we've used system. So to explain what system is like the master hand of our project. If we would have started a blank project with no objects or no assets or anything of that nature, system will always be there. So system handles things like timing, layout control, and math.
Okay.
So variable control. So I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to select system like I just did, and I'll select the add to action. And they want to know, what am I going to add to? I only have one variable so far, and that's coins. And I'm going to increase it by one.
So it's going to take whatever coins is at that time and just add one to it.
Yep.
Perfect.
Exactly.
Okay.
Cool. So if I were to run that, I'm going to see a bunch of cool coins in my game. I'm going to jump for them. And as I grab a coin, they disappear.
We might turn off the sound here for demos.
Oh, I can't get the last one. This is bad user experience.
The level is flawed. Well, we can make this platform have a higher or longer, magnitude. And that'll make it go a little higher, so we can tweak that in a second.
Definitely.
Okay. So we're collecting the coins, in theory. Really, we're just kind of incrementing that variable. How do we prove that that variable is actually getting incremented?
Well, we're going to have some sort of system that, some sort of visual representation of my coin, right?
Okay.
And that can be in the form of a text control, a text object in my game. And so in order to add that, I'd have to go ahead back to layout one.
And I think I will touch on those in our next video.
Great.
So I'll jump on that. But there might be a way we can see this just from running it if we have, I don't think we've talked about debugging yet.
We have not talked about debugging yet.
So debugging, and this is a very development conversation, but you can actually go in and look at these variables while you're running the game. So you wouldn't be displaying them to the game. You can just go in and look. So let's try a debug really quick.
Really cool. So we're just going to go ahead and instead of hitting this run layout button, we're going to hit the run layout button with a little bug icon on it called debug layout.
And this is going to be great for people to know how to use. So
nice.
Let's zoom out a little bit. So notice it's got our game at the top and then this stuff down at the bottom. So on the left, if we choose our coin variable, and actually it's going to be in, scroll up a little bit under system, and scroll down on the right side, all the way down, global variables. So we've got coins here equals zero, and now if you click on your game and play and get a coin, that coin variable goes up. So we will add a visual representation in the next couple of videos, but for now we can see all of that in debugging. So debugging is going to be one of those tools that is going to be really useful once you start getting into some deeper stuff.
Great. Awesome. So yeah, so we just got some debugging advice, guys. How cool was that? I'll be honest, James, you taught me something.
I did not always know how learning. To do that.
Always learning. Great. So let's go ahead and close this for now.
So we have these coins, and that's kind of the positive side of our game where we gain points.
It's all about winning.
Yeah. But can we keep track of our health, for instance? And is there a way that we could lose health? Kind of a similar process?
There is a way to lose health. The most obvious, obviously identifiable way to lose health is those spikes there, right?
Okay.
So right now we don't have any system in place to react to us like ramming into those spikes. So we could do something like give our player an instance variable called health and make that only relative to this to the player, which is why it's instance. And we can say that, you know, whenever we hit the spikes, we lose some of our health.
Okay.
Or all of our health.
Okay.
Depends.
Yeah. And so, you could change that.
Yeah, we could change it at any time. That's the beauty of variables. You can go in and change them at any time.
Okay.
Cool. So let's go back to our event sheet. We're going to go ahead and right-click in the layout. We're going to select... Ooh, we are not going to do that.
We're going to go back to our layout. We're going to select our player. Excuse me, guys. And we're going to go off to the left side of our window in the properties pane under instance variables. We're going to click that blue instance variables link.
And this is the difference between instance and global variable. Yes. So instance is just for this player.
Just relevant to that player. The player is the only one who knows about his own health.
Cool.
We're going to go ahead and add a new instance variable here. And we're going to name that variable health.
Now, and this looks very similar to what we did with global. Again, this is just instance
for that player. Right. Good practice I use is to make sure that my instance variables are lowercased and my global variables are proper-cased. It's just something I do. You don't have to do this, guys, but I like it. Cool. So I'll click OK here. And its initial value is going to be 0. I made a mistake there. I want to edit that. I'm going to change my initial value to 1. It's going to be a very difficult game, guys. Cool. So I'll close that for now. Now my player understands that he's got a health of 1. So I'm going to go into the event sheet. And I'm going to say that whenever my player hits the spikes, I want to lose some of my health. I'll just deduct 1 from my health.
Just going to lose 1 from 1?
I'm going to lose 1 from 1.
Okay.
And what happens when my health is 0? Player dies, right?
That sounds right.
So I'm just going to destroy him the same way I destroyed the coins whenever I ran into them.
Okay.
Works for me. Cool. So I'm going to go ahead and click add an event. And I'm going to say player. I'm going to use on collision with another object again. So I'll start typing on. Back. I'll start typing on collision with another object. I'm going to select that object. This time it's going to be spikes. Click OK. I'll click done. And that's my condition. Whenever the player touches the spikes, I'm going to add an action to that. And that action is going to say player is going to lose his health by 1.
Okay.
So
we can go into the player since it's his variable. It'll be in his
It'll be in his object.
Action.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll select the player. And I'm going to scroll down to instance variable section. I'm going to go subtract from his health. He's going to lose 1.
Okay.
He's going to click done. And so now that the player isn't going to have any more health, since he's only got 1 health to begin with, when I lose 1, he's got to go somewhere. Okay. And by somewhere, I mean he needs to be destroyed.
Okay.
So I'll add another action under this.
And it might be, so we could destroy him here, or let's say we're going to change our health in the future to make it
exactly
greater than 1. So we could maybe do an event that is checking to see if his health is ever equal to or less than or equal
exactly.
to 0.
Exactly. That's exactly what I wanted to do, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll cancel this.
Okay.
And I'll add another event here. And I'm going to use...
So you can go to your player...
My player for this.
And I
yes.
think it's a compare instance variable.
Yes.
Compare
so
variable.
If I scroll down to instance variable, instance variable. And I'm going to say if my instance variable health is equal to 0, click done. That's my condition. My action is going to be player destroyed.
Okay.
Right? So I'm going to select player. I'm going to click next. And I'm going to use destroy.
Lose.
Nice. Lose.
And I think one of the this is we probably won't notice this until you get into like fighting different players at different time and losing different amounts of health. But it might be good to check to see if your health is less than or equal to 0.
Mm-hmm.
So if, for instance, you hit an enemy that takes 20 and you've only got 15,
right?
Then you might go ahead and lose.
So for the purposes of future proofing my game,
mm-hmm.
I would say instead of health equals 0. I would say if health were less than or equal than 0.
Right.
And the reason being for that, just to clarify what James said, if I have a really, really cool gun in my game that takes 20 health away from me every time I get shot and I only have 5 health at the time, I'll never be 0. I'll go straight from 5 to negative 15 and I will have effectively be immortal.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why we want to make sure that it's equal or less than 0.
Okay.
Cool, so let's run our layout and see what happens when I force our character to kill himself. He's so hopped up over the greed. The money's great. He's got to get the last coin. He can't reach.
So we've still got to fix the magnitude of that platform.
It's horrible. We have to fix the magnitude of the platform. He's overwhelmed with grief. He goes and boom, kills himself.
Okay, so that was
now gone.
That was pretty instantaneous.
Yes.
Where it subtracted, then it checked.
Exactly.
Okay,
subtracted, cool. And as soon as it did, it checked. It was like, hey, this is less than zero. Let's get rid of that character.
Awesome.
We got a legitimate game. Now, one thing you guys may notice is that we're doing a lot of events. Like, we got some really cool functionality going, but we're not... It's going to be hard to know what's where and how to organize our game, right? So what we can do is put different code that does different things into groups.
Okay, and I think this is going to be, as we start adding a bunch of different things, and you can add a ton of events and actions.
Yes.
I think that's going to help us down the road.
Yes, it really will. So adding a group is easy. You just go to the blank space of your layout, you right-click, and you're going to go and click Add Group. And I'm going to name this group, since we already have... three events for player motion already. I'll just name this player motion. And you can add a description if you want, but I won't. We
pretty
can.
Straightforward. And those three events are the left, right, and up arrows.
Yes, yes. Okay. So player motion is here by default, so it's the last thing we added, so I'm going to drag it up top. And I'm going to drag these guys. I'm going to I can't highlight them. I'm just going to drag them under player motion. There we go.
Okay.
There we go.
And these are, you can kind of see the subtle differences on when you...
Right, there's a slight indentation. Yeah.
And
yes.
That's something that takes a little getting used to.
It does. You got to play with it the first couple times.
Really. But now if you minimize the player motion...
All my motion code is organized in this little drop-down.
So if I am not dealing with motion, I can put it out of the way.
And get to the rest of what I...
And then if I switch back to motion, I minimize everything else.
Definitely. Awesome. Definitely. And so, obviously, I've got some collision stuff going on, right? So I'm going to go ahead and add another group. That just says collision events. Drag that up.
And the subtle difference there is the indentation of this black line.
It's all about the indentation, guys. All about the indentation. Okay. There we go. I was trying to nail it. So once you get that little arrow for the first time, you are good to go.
Yeah. And the more, like we said, the more you do this, the more you get used to it.
Yeah, the more you do it, the more it makes sense. Cool. So now we've got some super, super organized code. It's all clean now. We got a working game. Are we ready to sell it yet?
We still got some work to do. We're getting closer and closer, though.
James, it's called MVP, the minimal viable product.
I like the attitude. But we've got our intro to the event sheet. We've added several things. What we just got through doing was working with our variables. So we're keeping score basically with how many coins we're catching,
mm-hmm.
And then we're keeping a health variable.
Mm-hmm.
So when we hit those spikes, we lose health, and then since our health is 1, and we'll probably change that in the future, we lose pretty quickly.
Exactly.
So I think next we're gonna, I'm gonna add some visual to that where I'm gonna display those things instead of having to use the debug, and then we'll walk through a couple of different things, some animation frames. So we've mentioned we will get there, so we'll do the animation frames,
mm-hmm.
Some functions, page navigation, some cool stuff. So come back for another video.
Come see us again!